Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is Monday, September 7th, 1998. In the fireside room this afternoon is Phil and Lola Dean. Session number is 98-1 and is titled, Who Me God? A Life in Service? Let's listen in.
10 sessions. I know all of you won't be here for the whole 10 sessions, but this is a journey that we're embarking on, and hopefully we can get you launched enough, or we can all launch together, so that those of you who do have to leave next week will be able to continue your search on your own through the rest of the subjects that we're going to do, with the exception of one. We can't come home with all of you to show you the pictures that we're going to have next week. But we are Phil and Lola Dean, and first of all, it's been 19 years since we've been to Holden, and I think there's something about Holden that is very special for all of us. We used to come with a young family, and this is a real treat for us to be here just as a couple. But Holden is always a place for people to kind of do some reflection. It used to be called Holden, a place apart. And I think it still fits that role very much, because it's a time when we don't have all the other pressures that we have at home. We're able to kind of think about some things, about what are we doing, or what's happening in our lives, or what do we want to do when we get home. We probably don't make as many lists as we do at home. Because anybody else a list maker?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Phil's promised to cremate them with me when the time comes. But Holden time is something else, and so this is a time when we're going to spend these next sessions talking about the subject of service. And how many of you knew that Holden had a theme this summer?
Had a what?
A theme. Okay, some of you did, and can anybody tell me what the theme is?
Guide our feet.
Guide our feet. So that's exactly what we're going to be talking about, and we are the theme coordinators. We don't like to call ourselves lecturers because that's not our real role in life. But we will be talking about the theme of Guide Our Feet in these next 2 weeks. And it's very difficult for us to feel that we are, you know, really qualified to be, quote, lecturers, teachers. That's why we don't call ourselves that, because that's not our role. We're not ministers. We're not teachers. We, in terms of our biblical study, it is nothing compared to anybody else here at the village. So we really come out of a layman, a real layman, working people stance. And so we thought that the best thing we could do to start would be for us to introduce ourselves a little bit, so you kind of know who we are and a few of our words, so that you can see that we're going to talk together. We're not going to tell you. We're going to work together for this week and next and look at some of the things that we've identified as issues and things that we need to kind of take a look at. So first, we haven't practiced this part, so this might be rather interesting. I'm going to introduce Phil, and he's going to introduce me. He doesn't know what I'm going to say, and I don't know what he's going to say. And we may not speak to each other for the rest of the week. So, I'd like to introduce my husband, Phil, who is a New Englander, but really, he's a Westerner who happened to get born in Massachusetts. And for any of you who are from the West Coast, you know what a Westerner's like. They, you know, never take no for an answer. You know, if there's a mountain, you climb it. If there's water, you swim or sail it. And so he really just got born in the wrong place. His mother didn't think that was the case, but that was, we know that to be true. He was able to go to excellent schools in New England and had that very great advantage of the old established schools that provided a wonderful education, even for someone who had quite a severe reading disability. His schooling was interrupted after his freshman year by something called WW2, where he was in the mountain troops and served in Italy. There was something about that experience that turned him into a scholar. And when he came back, he had the very big decision to make as to whether to be a ski bum and continue skiing or to become a physician. Fortunately for me, he chose the second course. But he was at Middlebury College and served on the ski team there, both as a jumper and cross-country man, which he's used up here too. We've done a little, didn't do any jumping here, but he did do some cross-country up here. After he went to Middlebury, he went on to Yale Medical School and then decided he wanted to come and find a place where he could ski and sail in the same day. So where did he end up, of course, but Seattle, at Harborview Hospital, which is where he was doing his residency when we met, and played at General Hospital right off the soaps. I was a student nurse, and we met for a sailing date, and then didn't see each other for a month, and then met another month later, and from there on, it was a known, done deal. And we were married a year later. After we were married, we moved to a suburb of Seattle called Mercer Island. And for any of you who are from the Seattle area, and we're going to ask you to tell us where you're all from a little bit later, but Mercer Island at that time was a community of young couples in the 50s that were just kind of launching into their careers. It had been it's an island in the middle of Lake Washington, hooked to Seattle by the floating bridge, which sank a few years ago, and to the east side by the East Side Bridge. And it's so convenient to downtown Seattle. It's what was becoming a very popular place for people to live. But at that time, it was all young families, and it was one of those kind of wonderful places to live. They hadn't had water prior to that time, just people had wells. But then Seattle Water came in, and so that just mushroomed, and it went from 16,000 to now 23,000 people live there. It's a fairly small island, but it was a nice place to live for us during those years. Phil practiced pediatrics on Mercer Island after finishing his residencies in both internal medicine and pediatrics, and later went on and did pediatric cardiology. And after 29 years, we sort of decided that we wanted to do our long-held dream that we had, which was to work overseas. And we titled one of our sessions, Half Stethoscopes, Little Travel. We took early retirement, and we had purchased a summer home prior to that up in the San Juan Islands. We've had a lot of the best of all worlds, as you'll see as time's gone on. But we got it on a sheriff's sale on the front steps of the courthouse, the last sheriff's sale that was held in San Juan County. And we were able to buy a piece of property with a rundown house, which we used for a summer vacation place, and then moved there in 1985 in preparation to going to work overseas. We went to the South Seas, to Africa, and worked with Afghan refugees for the next 7 years. And then I returned to work with my first love, which is the Native American Indians at Tulalip Tribes, which is in Marysville, for another 3 years. And now I think we have finally retired. I'm not sure. We never say never anymore. Volunteer commitments have been uppermost in Phil's life, and he served both on community organizations and professional organizations when we were in the Seattle area, as well as on the church council in youth and social ministry, mostly. And while we were doing the youth work, if there's any of you who wonder about a marital relationship, I highly recommend writing a book with your spouse. You'll either know your marriage is good for eternity, or you cash it in right there, because there's nothing like writing a book. And that book was a result of the youth work that we did, written under Mert Stroman's programs. And it was an interesting time in our lives, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Our current situation is we live on an island, which is we just go from island to island, as you will see. This island is the same size as Mercer Island, but we have 174 people, as opposed to 23,000. And it has a population of people who are mostly retired. We have a very large population who are over the age of 80. So being medical people, we're often called on for advice, not work anymore, but advice on this island. And we both serve in various ways there, but Phil also serves on the school board as its chair and has for the last something like 6 years. He also serves on the county housing board. But his first loves are building things. Phil loves to build things. Not repair, build. From scratch. New lumber, please. Nothing else. And I'll warn you about another thing. He likes to do puns and jokes. And you can always tell when he's a little tired because his puns get a little worse. So if he gets to that point and I'm not around, just say, Phil, it's time to go home, go to bed. Okay? I think the reason I married him was because he was a man that I could trust implicitly. He's steadfast and loyal. He's not like our golden retriever, but he has a lot of the same qualities. And he's my best friend, Phil.
You know, she doesn't know what I'm going to say either. Lola was born in into a Finnish community in southwestern Washington on the Columbia River. And she was an only child and was in a household of extended family of grandparents and so on. Excuse me. She eventually ended up at the University of Washington and in the nursing program there. And that was where we met. my first realization that she was interested in serving other people was that we had our first child. We also began to take in foster children. And there were relatives that came, and there were later, when we were working with youth, we had short-term drug-ridden kids who needed help. Our first relative was my niece, because my sister's family were living in South America. And we got her involved in the youth program at our church. And she complained bitterly about this program as being very poor quality. So we complained to the minister, and he said, fine, you take it over. We learned about complaining. One of the first things we did was to bring a group of our youth up here to Holden. And it was here we met Elmer Witt and Mert Strumman, two people who bonded well with our group. And Mert, of course, if you have been here at Holden many times and know us, involved in youth research through the church. He established He's a PhD psychologist and established a Lutheran Church Youth Research. Which then changed to Church Youth Research, which was multi-denominational. And he had developed certain mechanics of youth discussion groups that worked well. And suggested that we be the leaders of such a group in our parish, which we reluctantly did. But it turned out to be quite splendid. One of our youth is now on the Board of Trustees here at Holden. And that's, as a matter of fact, I think why we're tabbed to do this. That youth group, discussion group, turned out to have its failings because of its success. This was in the 60s, and the drug culture hit with a bang, and our kids were so oriented to helping others, they bring these bad kids into our group, which kind of threw a monkey wrench into the discussion for the non-involved kids. And we became kind of an open door clinic for youth with problems. And it was that experience, excuse me, that led to our being invited up here by Mert Strowman at Holden to be on the panel for a youth workshop one summer. So this is not the first time we've been on staff, but the first time we've been involved in the open discussion and not a closed group. We also were very much involved in the hospital here. We see that its name has changed to Agape now, and had some wild, interesting things to tell about some of the medical problems that developed here, which I'll avoid. Lola began to get very creative in her concepts of community betterment when we got home, and decided we should try to do something proactive rather than retroactive for kids that were in turmoil. And there was no place, no recreational facility for teenagers, and developed a teen center concept, which was successful in development. And subsequently, she served on the park board and became its chair. And while there, she not only was involved in multiple acquisitions of parks on our island, which is a real blessing now that the population has grown, but also conceived of a children's park. And what was exciting about this was that it was built entirely with volunteer labor. I can remember one particular instance when there were so many volunteers that it clogged up the road, the artery. So the police came and involved a discussion about we can't do this. And one of the volunteers involved the police, and he rolled up his sleeves and went to work with us too. So Lola was involved, I won't go into all the details, but was involved in establishing the better part of a dozen community organizations and social service organizations. Chief among them was Youth and Family Counseling Center, Senior Service Center, was involved at the state level getting Children's Protective Services installed in our state, and many other. I'll leave her curriculum vitae out if anyone's interested.
No.
She would be very unhappy to mention all these things. We were at Holden one year when Lola decided that we really ought to, she ought to grow up and do something for herself, and decided that she had opened a bookstore on Mercer Island. And so that the conceptualization of that store occurred here at Holden, and we went back home and leased a place, an empty in the commercial district of Mercer Island, and this was in October, and I said to Lola after we signed the lease, when do you plan to open? And she said, in 2 weeks.
You had a whole month.
So I had a little more than 2 weeks to build all of the bookcases and do the wiring, lay the floor and whatnot. But I never missed a day's of work at the office. While she was operating this bookstore, she was in contact with Mary Hinderly up here at Holden, who had a dream of establishing a bookstore here at Holden. And so one February, where we packed up our whole family, and I packed up all of the material necessary and the gear, and came up here, and Lola and Mary put together the organizational part of the bookstore in 1975, is that right? And in between power outages, which were abundant, I managed to scrape together enough material to build a bookstore that's presently in its location. As she mentioned, we served as medical people, serving and teaching overseas, but the first year that we were at in Pakistan, teaching young Afghan men to be medics in their own country, one of the jobs that I had was to evaluate some of the actual doctors from Afghanistan who had been trained recently, and they turned out to be so miserably trained that they were totally non-functional. And it was Lola's idea that why don't we develop a miniature medical school and retrain them and get them functional. And so we wrote a proposal, and it was approved by the World Health Organization, and they then said, well, why don't you set it up? And we said, well, we hadn't planned on doing that. In actuality, that's what occurred. And so we went back the next year, and after recruiting all the equipment and so on, and set up a medical school, not realizing there were no texts in Farsi in their language, so we had to write the textbook while we were there. So, anyway, no one said anything about our family. We have six children, and they came within 6 years. We had four in diapers at once, and we had, that was the point where I had to realize that with Lola's insidious insistence that I give up one of my two practices, since both of them are now full time. We went away for 3 days, and I gave up my cardiology practice in favor of the general pediatrics. Shortly after that, the pill came out, and I came home and told them about it, and she looked at me and said, is it retroactive?
I told it, no bad joke.
Well, I'm not telling a joke, I'm just telling about you.
The thing he didn't also say, though, is that we have 10 absolute perfect grandchildren. Anybody else got perfect grandchildren?
Is that what the slides are on the...
okay, well, that's a little bit of who we are. I think that we have been blessed with a lot of things, and I think that, you know, not everyone goes off and does some of the kinds of things that we've done, and we certainly will talk about that in the next sessions. But we've been blessed with good health and a lot of energy, and that we've been able to use. First of all, we survived the six children. We felt we could survive almost anything. And so child raising for us was not always a pleasant situation. We have five boys and one girl, and our children were born during the time that it wasn't easy raising children in an urban setting with the advent of the drug culture. And so we have our scars, along with a lot of other folks. And I don't know how many of you knew Liz Kammerer, who was just in the village. She just hiked in, but her husband is the one who did the ceiling in the village center. And they were our oldest son's parents, and essentially when he went to school here as a senior at Holden Village and graduated from Holden as a senior. because he wasn't doing very well in the regular schools, that was for sure. So, what are we going to talk about in the next 9 sessions? Tomorrow is the toughest one for us. And when we get to finding out who you are, I know that there are some ministers in here, and we really need your help, and we need people who know their Bible inside and out, because this is not our strong point. But tomorrow what we're going to talk about is, what is service? Why, where in the Bible are we called to serve? And how are we called to serve? What is it? And so as a homework section for tomorrow, we need the help of the scripture friendly. Everything seems to be something friendly these days. To really give us a hand with what passages guide you. So for tomorrow we meet at 10:30 in the morning. And so if all of you could just take a chance, or just take a couple minutes tonight, or think about it a little bit, what are the things that guide you in terms of what you think of as service, and what guides you in that walk? At 6 o'clock on Wednesday, it's a later evening session. That's one where we're a lot more comfortable, because we're back on our own personal walk, in your personal walk. And for that session, we're really going to use the theme book, Practicing Our Faith. And I don't know how many of you had a chance to look at this at the bookstore. It's in paperback, and I'm not sure what the paperback cost is, but I would highly recommend it as being not only a valuable book for yourself and your families, but also for your churches, because there's a lot of really good chapters in there. And tomorrow I'll tell you which chapter it is that we're going to really work on for the third session. But we'll be using that this particular book a lot in the third.
I think it's $14 in the bookstore.
$14 for the paperback. Okay, the hardcover's $22.50, which is a little pricey, but some people prefer hardcover books. I tend to be one of those, having at a bookstore. On the next session, the fourth section, on Thursday and Friday, we'll be meeting at 10:30 both times. And on Thursday, we're going to talk about that which is closest to our hearts, and that's our home and family. And for that one, we're going to be using this book again. And from time to time, we're going to be dipping into Mary Schramm's book, Gifts of Grace. And I don't know if any of you know the Schramms. They were directors of Holden after the Hinderleys. And Mary has written a very lovely book about individuals' gifts. And we've been trying to figure out who is it that runs the bookstore? What's her name?
Pat.
And I've been trying to figure out whether or not this is still in print. And I'm not sure if it is, but I'm sure your church libraries all have it, if no one else. And there's a couple things in there that we really want to go into. On Friday morning, we're going to sort of break the bank and talk about something very controversial in service, and that is the church. And we're going to talk about, how do you serve in the church, and where is the church in terms of service in 1998. And we have some kind of strong feelings about that, and I suspect there might be some people in this group that might have some strong feelings about that as well. So hopefully that one will be, we'll really be able to have some good discussion.
Okay. Next week, we'll start off on Monday with focusing on the local community and the workplace, and how Christians can fit in and be effective in the community and in the workplace. And we will, of course, invite a considerable amount of discussion on this, because everyone has a different flavor in their community and different gifts that they bring to the community, and whether the workplace lends itself to Christian service. On Tuesday, the political realm in the broadest perspective. And that will be a work session. What we'll do is it'll be a surprise how we organize that particular session. But that should be interesting. On Wednesday, we'll talk about working overseas. And it's quite obvious that most people will not be in a position to work overseas, but we'll be talking about that the following day as well as the, what are the requirements? What are the difficulties? What are the perks? What kind of things do you get out of it by serving overseas? What are the hazards, etc.? And how you might look for a place to serve overseas, how you may go about finding a niche that would serve your particular skills and your temperament. And the last session will be an easy one for us because we'll be, did we show our slides on that one?
No, the slides are number 8. Slide number 8.
Number 8, oh, okay. We'll show our slides on Wednesday when we're talking about the examples of where we serve. And the last session will be on special causes and how do I know I'm choosing the right thing looking at
overseas?
No way.
Probably trying to figure out how we could serve. Anyway, any questions on any of these topics that we are raising?
So some of us who won't be here next week, you'd be glad to do a little preview of your slides, would you?
Well, we really debated it when we knew that a lot of you, especially on the Holden tour, are here for this week, whether or not we should double up and do, you know, 2 sessions each day and then just repeat the whole thing next week. But we decided that with the help of the directors that probably would be better if we just stuck to the original schedule. I'm sure we could do an evening showing, you know, if for those people only who are leaving at the end of the week, if that were something they wanted to do. I just want to add one note to the last session that we're going to do, and that is how do I choose the way? Again, this is discernment. How do I know when I'm being called? How do I know with any choice that we make that this is the thing to do? And again, there's a wonderful chapter in this book on discernment that is really, I think, very valuable. Because decisions are not made just like, you know, am I going to go overseas and work? Because maybe that's not where you are at this point in time. But service happens every day wherever you are. And so that's really what we're going to, through these various things that we're going to go through, we're going to hopefully hit all of them in these 10 sessions. Is there anything that we've forgotten? We had forgotten the workplace until Phil kind of remembered it, and then I was talking with an architect yesterday about service, and he said he was talking about working in his firm, and all of a sudden it dawned on us we hadn't included the workplace. What else have we forgotten that you want to make sure we hit? The golf course?
How about the highway? Avoiding road rage.
Yeah, hopefully some of these kinds of things will come in, especially as we talk about home and family, which is Wednesday.
As part of when you do home and family is helping children learn service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talk about that. Okay. Yes, we got that. We did get that one down.
Okay.
Because we got to thinking about our own children. And that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I like that the book started out with keeping the Sabbath.
Okay, yes. That's Wednesday.
Okay.
Wednesday, right.
Would you mind sharing with us today, rather than tomorrow, which chapter of the book it is you're going to emphasize, since some of us have a long hike plan tomorrow and may not be here for tomorrow's session, but we'll be perhaps
okay. Actually, what we've done is we've sort of hopped and skipped from the Old Testament to the New Testament to just about everything.
But I mean the chapter in the book.
Oh, that's for Wednesday. I'm sorry.
You said you were going to tell us which chapter tomorrow.
Yeah.
But if you tell us today, then we may be.
Let's hope that I only brought 2 of these things down. Can I get back to you at that at dinner time?
can be listed on the schedule.
Yes.
In other words, which chapter of the book
yes.
we should preview.
Right, and I will have to look at my notes for the following day. I only brought, well, wait.
No, I don't
have.
You
didn't bring
the
notes? Okay. I'll get back to you. Yes, we can note that so that anybody who's going on the hike tomorrow can read ahead. Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay, starting with Nikki. What is it you would want to find out from her?
Well, we want to find out where you're from, mm-hmm. What kind of a community you live in. We want to find out a little bit about how you feel you fit into that community, what your home, city, town is like, what your life work status is, past and present.
How long do we get?
And family status, you know, just a little synopsis.
A little synopsis, so we kind of know where you guys all are, okay? It'll be really helpful.
We're not going to talk about the future today.
No.
The future comes later. Hopefully that your future might even alter a bit because of the discussion we have here.
Holden has a way of doing that.
I'm in Seattle. I've been there about 10 years and lived in the Bay Area previous to that. I've traveled extensively. And my work is, I don't know, in the community. Community is an interesting thing that sort of comes and goes, but I guess there's a couple of communities that I identify with mostly. One is my church community, which is a Methodist church, a pretty liberal Methodist church in the Seattle area. And another is a recreational group that I belong to. So I guess for communities, I'm single, and so friends that are in those groups are the ones that make my family in Seattle. I might have blood family elsewhere, but and work. I work as a massage therapist out of my home, and I work as a nurse on a per diem basis. So all of my work is per diem, and at times it's very challenging because of that.
Mm-hmm. Not per diem, so.
Well, not, I mean, you know, you gotta play, you gotta work, and you know.
I'm in transition. I've been a pastor and for 30 years and have exercised my option to retire. And I'm here to do some reflection and hoping that Holden will be that kind of eye-opening thing in terms of a new sense of direction. And the community that I did live in was a town and gown community, which pretty much meant if you weren't with the university, you weren't part of the community, and so I was kind of stuck in that. So I guess that's all I have to say at this point.
Could we start in the back row?
Marilyn's 26 years in Tucson, Arizona, an urban center. Mm-hmm. And I guess the community, my church community, of course, and in under the church community is a hiking group, you know, we identify with, and I'm retired. I had worked as a medical transcriptionist, and my husband's retired also.
And I'm John. I retired, I took an option to retire early with the idea of becoming more involved in volunteer activities, and I've done that. All of the things that were on my list haven't gotten done because there are other things keep creeping in. And I'd like to know how to say no, but I'd also, the idea of discernment, you know, what are the things that I really ought to be doing?
Be sure you're here Wednesday.
Yeah.
And what was your work that you did, John?
I was in technical publications, and I left that behind to become a volunteer coordinator and a check writer through our Council on Aging, and I also built wooden toys for Toys for Tots and several agencies. I need to narrow down a little bit, I think.
Okay.
To your left.
You're next.
I can see you now.
Cool. I'm Doug and my wife, Noreen. We're both retired librarians. She was a director of the Cleveland Library, Cleveland Elementary School Library System in Cleveland, California, and I was library director for Yuba Community College Library in Marysville, California. We retired, she'd been out 4 years, I've been out 2 years, this is my second year of retirement. For many years, we lived in the Yuba City, Marysville area, which is north of Sacramento in California, and we're members of the Lutheran Church down there, ELCA Church. When I retired, we sold our home down there and moved to a community in Northern California, Lake Elmore up near Chester, between Chester and Susanville, just underneath Mount Lassen. And we're just kind of getting established up there, and there's no Lutheran Church, no ELCA Lutheran Church up there, so we have kind of become de facto Episcopalians and are fairly involved with this small Episcopal church up there. We have been given a little bit of training. We lead like morning prayer services and evening prayer services. It's a very small group. We, of course, volunteer at the local public library one day a week. Shell bucks, cross-country ski, water ski. I have a shop where I also build toys, primarily from nieces and nephews, and are just kind of getting used to the idea of retirement and finding out how much work it is to be retired.
How large is it Susanville you're in, or near Susanville?
Well, we're nearest Chester.
Our nearest town is Chester, and that's about 1,600.
So small town.
Very small.
Okay.
Yeah, it's great getting people every day. We're still trying to kind of decide. I don't know, we're so busy. It's very difficult to know, where we're serving. So we just we're easing into, serving the library. We're thinking about joining a community choir, and it's just kind of one of those things where. We're also in the mountains, so we're not sure that that we'll always spend all winter there. It's at the 5,000 foot level.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful area. But
lots of snow, which is great for cross country skiing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get a little oppressive.
If you have to shovel a lot.
If you have to shovel a lot.
Good. Could we come back over here now?
Yeah. I was born and raised in North Dakota, but migrated to the east. I spent years in Philadelphia, first in Baltimore, Maryland, and I guess I'm responsible for the early days of Social Security in 1936.
Uh-huh.
I set up the records keeping and et cetera. And later when the war came along, I went with the Department of Justice to set up a system for registering alien registration. And later I worked for Immigration and Naturalization. And I went to the service in 44. The government was accused of harboring too many young men. And I was a young man once. And I served in the military at Farragut, Idaho, in the hospital. And when I got out of the service, I felt that enough military and enough government service, another man and I went to the furniture business.
Oh.
And we were in from 48 to sort of a prime time until 73 when somebody came along to buy us out. And since that, I've been, I guess, semi-retired and worked in construction. I kind of like that kind of thing. And I've always been very active in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, so to speak. and served on various boards and interested in elderly people through the church, make visitations within the congregation to other people that were, you know, in nursing homes and various other institutions.
Where do you live now?
I live now in Spokane, Washington.
Okay, so you're in too.
Okay. Stay next to Jacob.
My name is Mark Oaken, and I'm a foreigner. I guess I come from Wisconsin, far away from all of you. And my husband and I ran a dairy farm. He was born on the farm, and he lived there until 82 when he retired. And we have four children, and the oldest son is the fifth generation running the farm now. And at his retirement, he was a member of the board trying to build a retirement home independently for elderly people. And at the time, we needed to fill the apartments, and you look for people who will put the money into it. You can't build it unless. So we went into that thinking it would be a temporary thing until whatever. But we stayed there all the time. He died of pancreatic cancer 2 years ago. And since then, I've gotten involved in, we live in Winchester, which is an unincorporated village. It's very tiny. It has a golf course, a church, a Quick Trip, our retirement home, and a few homes. It's maybe 500 people. Very small.
Okay, so would we call that a
village?
Village. I like that name. See, we don't even qualify as a village.
So. So the last couple of years, I've just gotten involved in a variety of volunteer work at the hospital and the VNA and the blood bank and whatever, and church. Okay. And our home is right next to the church. It's the church, the cemetery, and our home. So I always said, well, I only have one place to go, over the fence.
Darlene Garfield, Minnesota, between Fargo, Moorhead, and Minneapolis. I'm a retired school librarian, but I've also worked at a seminary library, public library, hospital library. My husband is a recently retired ELCA pastor. He retired September 1st. That's the day we came here. And our address is Garfield, and that's a town of maybe 300. We belong to Westmo Church, rural Brandon, and that's a town of maybe 300, but our main shopping town is Alexandria, and we are in a lakes area of Minnesota. So, and as far as volunteer work is concerned, I have done a lot in the past, depending on where we lived, but currently I'm on the planning committee for Women's Week at Luther Crest Bible Camp, and I have offices in our LCW and Ackerman Circle.
How about mosquitoes?
We swat them. And if we stay out, if they indoors when it gets dark, it really hasn't been that bad.
No. I was born and raised in northern Minnesota. Now we live in New Jersey. We're about 35 miles from New York City. So where we live is a suburban community of 23,000 people, but we don't even have a grocery store in the town. It's a township we live in. My husband's retired from AT&T. I'm still working. I'm a seamstress for an interior decorator designer. And volunteer work is pretty much through the church. Our church is very active with the homeless.
Right next?
We'll see. Her husband.
I'm Ken now from Scottsdale, Arizona. 4 years ago, retired from Urbana, Illinois, Champaign-Urbana, which is a university kind of a community, where I was administrator of a large physician medical group of 250 physicians for 25 years. And we really switched communities in the sense of being a part and very active in that community for many years, both professionally and from a community service standpoint, and moving lock, stock, and barrel into a completely new community in Scottsdale, Arizona, not knowing anyone, and therefore having to reestablish a whole new set of communities of which we would become a part. And had, because of our commitment and involvement in the church, our immediate contact and source of community certainly was our new congregation that we became a part of there in Scottsdale. But our communities have been many, and in a sense, and our service have been many, both from a local standpoint, very involved in my professional association. Both Joyce and I have been involved in that, and that has created a community for us that is different than the working community that you have within your local job and vocation that you have. And then I have another significant community for us in service has been, and for me, has been working with the church both at the local level and at the national level. I've been on a number of national boards of the church. I currently am on a trustee of the Board of Pensions, so I'm involved in the fiduciary responsibility of those of you who are clergy people that either are building your retirement or are spending your retirement or are counting on it for health and other benefits.
Do good.
I can remember back in the days when the synods were trying to get together, and the thing that kept holding them apart was the pension plans. Yeah. For years that went on.
Well, from your t-shirt, you must be from Wisconsin.
No, this t-shirt actually came from British Columbia. This is a common cow with his hiking boots on, who is, I have to read it upside down here, who is awed by the wonders of the great outdoors.
Oh,
this is my hiking cow. My name is Joyce, and I'm the better half of this group. And my professional education was in nursing, which I used very, very little after that part. It was partly I worked to pay taxes, and I worked while he was in graduate school, that sort of thing. But my primary responsibility was raising the four children. And then after they were, we were the empty nesters, my profession was volunteering. Very, very active in the community as a volunteer in a variety of ways. And since we have moved and in the context of retirement, doing some volunteering at the church, and I have days of feeling guilty because I'm not involved in this intense volunteering I was doing before. So I have some guilt feelings about that, but then I keep thinking, well, is that really what I want to do? I kind of like this free and fancy and being busy all the time. What? And well, we are involved at a retreat center, which is just north of Scottsdale, called Spirit in the Desert, which is a Lutheran retreat center, and we are very
heard about
in the program committee there.
Did the administrator, former administrator here?
Scott Hasserud, he is the part-time program director at Spirit in the Desert.
He lives next door to Phil's sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and last year we put on, last March, our first Luther hostel, based on an elder hostel model, but it was the Luther hostel, and our second one is going to be next March.
And you will. Many of you will be on our mailing.
It was a great success.
Good. It's a good model.
Wonderful.
The Chilstroms will be our principal presenters at that.
Oh, yes. They were at our women's retreat.
Don?
Yes, I'm Don. I was born in the Anthracite Coal Region in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Went to Muhlenberg College, and then I went on to the seminary in Maywood, at the Lutheran seminary that was at Maywood, then went downtown Chicago. I went there because I thought I would like to be a clinical chaplain, and but never did. I moved on. I was called to a dual parish in Albion, Indiana, a small town. There were 1,600 people, I think, when we got there. It's 23 maybe now, but very small provincial town. Sometimes, I mean, they just a lovely town, but sometimes you'd like to put a bomb under it. And
be sure you're here for the session on the church.
But I served that parish for 33 years, and I retired in 1990. My wife Eleanor is a nurse, and we have four children. But I guess I'm back in the clinical part because I'm a Y bum, and I'm a volunteer at the pool, and I work with stroke patients, handicapped children, both physical and mental. And that's where I am.
Okay, and what is the town you're living in now?
And we built our home for our 25th wedding anniversary in Albion, and we're still there.
You're still there, so you're a small town.
Small town.
Okay.
Is it agricultural?
It used to be. Now it's small industry.
And he's my favorite brother-in-law.
Your only brother-in-law.
I'm an administrator at the University of Minnesota. Single person living in a community, in an older community within the city. My volunteer work involves, I'm a member of the church council and other activities within our church. And also, I strongly believe in community. I'm a block coordinator, member of the safety committee for our area, and neighborhood volunteerism is really important to me. Building that sense of community with the people across the fence.
Okay, good. Lydia with the red shirt behind you.
Oh, hi. I'm Martha. We live in Pullman, Washington. Dominated by Washington State University. Mm-hmm. It's like him. It's a town and gown. Mm-hmm. It's a very educated community. And it's a little... Anyway, and my volunteerism is mainly centered around international wives that meet at my home once a week, mm-hmm. about 25 of them, and they come from all over the world. You know, wives, graduate students, and we just have the women. Uh-huh. We have a great time. And I think it's mainly social, but we teach English. We have an advanced group, a middle group, and a beginning group. Mm-hmm. And then I am the hostess. I make coffee and tea. They take turns bringing dishes, hopefully, from their own country. Sometimes it's cookies from Safeway. I enjoy that a lot.
And how did you get started in that?
Well, there was an international relations group in Pullman for many years, which I went to, and with a subsection of English. And after a while, the big group disbanded, but we kept on and drew some of the others into it. Yeah. And we also have had four children. Oh. We have four children.
Yes.
All right, Paul Clavinon, the lesser half. And, started off in northeastern Washington in a little mountain valley. Went to Washington State University and never got out of it. I taught veterinary medicine for 40 years there.
With Leo Bustad.
Hmm? Oh, yes. With He's Leo a good Bustad. Friend of ours. Leo yes. Bustad.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And I had Leo, I went to school with him as a fellow student. I taught him in school. I had him as a lecturer in the arts of radio toxicology and later as my dean, only known him since 1937. But the things that I have been involved in, I'm not the volunteer that my wife is, but what she didn't mention is that every Friday morning she's up at the nursing home as a volunteer there serving juice and cookies while I'm over at the gymnasium helping the MS patients and other physically handicapped groups get in and out of the pool. They have physical therapy students work with the patients in the pool, but somebody has to get them in the pool and out of the pool. And I was once asked, Paul, what do you get out of that? I told him, well, I can go home and be very, very thankful that I can lift a young man half my age into the pool chair and out of the pool chair and getting dressed again, and be blessed to be able to do that, because I retired fully in 85, and the same Martha will be doing the other thing, so Friday morning comes our way, what she left off on her vitae was that she was raised in China, the daughter of a Methodist missionary, educational missionary there, and so we still are principal hosts for what we call the Tour Lutherans in our church, and we have a Bible study at our house every Monday night.
My name is Steve Chen. I live in Seattle, and I started my career, interestingly, as a seminary student. So I spent 3 years in seminary and decided that wasn't the way for me to go, and ended up getting an electrical engineering degree in the early 80s. And I've been working now. I work in networking, computer networking, and do a lot of marketing in that area, product development, marketing stuff. As far as service goes, about 4 years ago, my wife Randy and I did work for about a year and a half in a teen shelter. We were the teen shelter coordinators in our church in Seattle. And actually, we found that experience to be very frustrating and not very gratifying at all.
Mm-hmm. And not good that it was, but yeah. I'm glad you didn't say that.
Yeah, it was, we felt more like we were enabling, frankly. And, since then, this past spring, I started to work with some individuals, like one individual, I should say, on maybe helping that person develop some technical skills. And that's been, at this point, I have to say, not quite successful, but it might be successful, so we'll have to see.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And if you can mention Kristen tomorrow.
Sure. My name's Randy.
I
was brought up in New Jersey and found my way to Washington about 10 years ago. I told my dad he should have stopped on his way home from Korea and lived here, and then I could have been brought up here. Had to find my way here. Let's see, I got out of school in 83 and joined banking and have been in there ever since. I went into banking because they offered me the opportunity to travel around the world for 2 years, and I'm still a banker, so it's really weird. Our community really is our church, and we go to University Lutheran Church back in Seattle. It's a great community. Steve was brought up Baptist, I was brought up Catholic, so we settled on being Lutherans. In terms of our service, about 3.5 years ago, one of our girlfriends came to us and told us she was going to be a single mom. And so at that time we said, well, you know, we have really conventional careers and we have this basement that's not being used, so we made it a mother-in-law apartment and live with us ever since, which has been really a great way to kind of integrate service into a very conventional lifestyle that we live. And at the bank I work at, they have a youth job program where they brought in 100 students. About 6 years ago, and I was paired up as a mentor with a young Chinese girl who, in our first meeting, told me that she had a 4.0 average at Ballard High, and that was kind of her goal. And I said, well, we won't talk about academics much. So that's been a great opportunity to have some service in my life, too. And then I'm on church council because being a banker, you know, they get you to be the vice chair.
Just treasure.
They always want to make sure they call being covered.
Well, we want to thank you all for sharing.
Actually, I didn't say anything about service because I forgot to.
Okay, go ahead.
But I guess mine has been sort of more a week here, a week or two there, yeah. This kind of thing. I mean, like the fact that I'm doing nursing here is involved with me. And I've worked some with people with AIDS, like at retreats. And so I tend to be, like, go for a period of time and then do that. And then I'm not very involved, I guess, other times, although, you know, on committees and stuff. But actually, that's one of the frustrations of my life.
You know, what's come out here is a great diversity, and this is a wonderful, I hope you all stick with us for as long as you can be here, because you're a great core group to discuss what we're going to be talking about. And service can be short-term, it can be long-term, it can be lifelong. I mean, it can be a lot of things, and it's not always going someplace and doing something. Sometimes it's being in your own home. And it's interesting to hear, having been born in China, I'm sure that's where the international interest came from. You two are at the beginning of your lives in some ways, and those of us who have been around for a while, we know now that kids will come and say, oh, that made so much difference, but you have to wait a while to hear that. So a lot of what we're talking about here are things that we're going to really get into in these next sessions. So I hope you'll stick with us. It can be a lot of fun. We'll throw something around.
We thank you for sharing with us, because it's our concept that this will assist the group to be able to discuss it more easily, the things that are close to your heart.
And we're 7 minutes over. Sorry.